This morning we are continuing in our sermon series, Questions That Jesus Asked. Today we're picking up in Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Again, this is speaking of Jesus, and it reads, "One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?' But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, 'Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?' And they could not reply to these things." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we dive into this passage, we pray that you would help it to becoming alive in our hearts and minds, that you would be filling me with your words, and that all of us would receive them in such a way that it would be life-changing, that our lives would change as we continue to study your holy word. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As it was upon many occasions, Jesus has found himself in a trap set by the Pharisees. The Pharisees have called Jesus in an effort to maybe discredit him. And so he's been invited to dinner at the home of a prominent Pharisee. The Pharisees are continuously seeking to put Jesus on display, continuing to seek to find a way to maybe discredit him, to make him look foolish, or to confirm that he is not who he says he is. And time again, Jesus frustrates all the efforts of the Pharisees, and they fail time and time again. And so Jesus is invited to the home of this Pharisee, where conveniently there is this man who is sick. It says that he has dropsy. His torso, his body would have been swollen with fluid that he wouldn't have been able to. It would have been this painful swelling. And Jesus, seeing this man and probably recognizing that this is a trap set before him, asks the Pharisee the question, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" And they remain silent. And Jesus, he in that question, the Pharisees are remaining silent because Jesus in that question has laid for them a trap. Well, not a trap as much as a test. If they say yes, they would appear soft and hypocritical regarding the stringent measures that they required for Sabbath observance. But if they said no, they would have been accused of being inhumane or uncaring about human suffering. So in their silence, Jesus heals this man. And the word healed here is understood that this man, he was completely healed. You know, it wasn't the beginning of healing that the swelling started to decrease, but this is the complete healing, miraculous transformation taking place. So Jesus heals the man and asks the second further question. "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And again, they had nothing to say. Really, Sabbath, even the Pharisees' Sabbath regulations allowed them to save the lives of an animal. So specifically written in the Mishnah, these early writings of the Jewish fathers, it has in there that on the Sabbath, that one of the exceptions for working was to save livestock or an animal. And so likewise, If it's okay to save an animal, then it must be okay to save a person, right? Don't we value people more than animals? But the Mishnah didn't explicitly say anything about people, only about livestock. But Jesus, being who Jesus was, is trying to drive at the heart of the Pharisees here. The Pharisees were a group of people who frequently added rules to the law of God in order to make the law of God easier, so to speak, to follow. And so they would impose these religious regulations on the people in order that they might follow the law of God better. But in reality, they became so obsessed with following the law that they missed the whole point of why the law was established. The law was designed to draw us closer to God. And really, Jesus, more than once, he says that the law could be summed up in the two commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. To love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And so the law is designed to draw us closer to God, but the Pharisees often imposed these rules that would drive a wedge between people and God. Many commentators, language analysts, what they say when you look at the Hebrew word for law, it's better understood as instructions. Many of us don't like hearing things like laws or rules. I've said upon many occasions that I'm not a huge fan of rules. Ask my mom and dad. They're here. They'll tell you. I was not a big fan of rules growing up. But I do like instructions. One of my favorite toys growing up was Legos. And when I would get a Lego set, I would build it according to the instructions, which would be pretty hard to do without the instructions. And then every time after that, I just did my own thing. Or, Celise and I, for pretty much the extent of our marriage, have been in the financial category where the majority of our furniture means some assembly required. So you get that little Allen wrench, and you bring it home, and you carefully put the particle board together. And without instructions, that would be really difficult. Instructions are designed to make life easier. And so the instructions in the Bible are not only designed to make life easier, but they're designed to make life good. God is saying, do you not understand that I have created everything that there is, that all of the universe is part of my creation, and I've designed it for you to enjoy? And so here's a set of instructions on how you can best do that. That if you want to best enjoy this world that I have created, here's how. And when you start adding in all of these extra rules or extra steps, it suddenly takes all of kind of the fun out of it. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. And so Jesus was reminding them that this is it's a heart issue, not a behavior issue. So I just want to clarify something here. That Jesus was not saying that the Sabbath wasn't important. What Jesus was saying was that what's really important is loving God and loving your neighbor. And the Sabbath was designed to help us do that. The Sabbath was designed to help us to love God, to follow after God, to model that pattern of creation, the 6 days of working and the day of resting. But if it means that you are hurting someone else in the process, that's not really drawing closer to God or drawing closer to the Sabbath. And because of that, I thought it would be beneficial for us to talk about the Sabbath for just a moment and what it means to obey it. It's Father's Day. And so, men, I'm going to start off talking to you. I would say maybe as a gender, historically, throughout the generations, we have not been good at resting. And then all of a sudden, maybe in this generation, we've become really too good at resting. But there needs to be a balance between work and rest. An early rabbi said that if you work with your hands, Sabbath with your mind, or if you work with your mind, Sabbath with your hands. In other words, whatever your life normally looks like, maybe step away from that and do something a little bit different in order to find rest. Why is it important for us to find rest? Well, number one, because it's a reflection of who God is. Because God is a God who works and rests. It's healthy. Studies have shown that it is physically healthy for our bodies to find rest, to get ample amounts of rest. That really, if you want to improve yourself, to become stronger, whether that is physically, mentally, spiritually, that there needs to be periods of work and rest. Fathers, men, Scripture calls us to be spiritual leaders. It calls us to step up, to assume responsibility, and to lead others in their faith. And that's not to say that a woman can't do that. And that's not to say that men are alone in that. Absolutely not. God designed us to be in partnership for a reason. But I think God gives special instructions to men frequently on this issue of leadership because it's frequently something that we neglect. And so men are called to be spiritual leaders. And so if you demonstrate a habit of practicing the Sabbath, then you're demonstrating to others around you what it means to practice the Sabbath. You're leading by example. And so Sabbath is important for you, but it's also important for your spouse. And so how are you inviting or leading your spouse into Sabbath? Have you become so consumed with your own life, your own need for rest, what you feel like you deserve, that you at times forget to offer times for your spouse to Sabbath? Do you seek out ways to lead them into rest? Do you encourage it? Do you pray for it? Do you pray for them during it? Likewise, are you leading your children into moments and days of Sabbath? For many of us with children, we will acknowledge that our calendars don't lack things in them, that we continue to add more and more into our calendars. And they're good things. They're great things. And really, it's things that we're trying to better our children. But if we don't teach our children now the importance of finding Sabbath, they'll never find it as adults. Or at least it'll be much more difficult. How are we leading our neighbors, the people around us, in defining Sabbath? Are you being a good neighbor? Are you living in a way that removes some of their anxiety? Are you easy to live next door to? Are you easy to shop in proximity with? Are you a considerate driver? And so this idea of Sabbath is an instruction that we are given. It's one of the Ten Commandments, to keep the Sabbath day holy. And so it's one of the ten, top ten maybe, instructions on how to best enjoy this life that God has created for you. And yet it is the one that we so frequently neglect. In our denomination, when a pastor is ordained into ministry, one of the questions that they ask is, do you believe in the Westminster Confession? Do you believe the things that it has to say? And then they ask, do you have any exceptions? And frequently, pastors will say that they struggle with following the observance of not working on the Sabbath. So even amongst those who are professional Christians, it's hard. It's difficult to find times and places of rest. But I would encourage you to do so. So fathers, husbands, everyone, in what way in your life do you regularly demonstrate that you love God and your neighbors? How often do you demonstrate that you love God and your neighbors? This is the challenge that Jesus is challenging the Pharisees with in regards to the Sabbath. He's saying, are you Sabbathing in a way that demonstrates that you love God and your neighbors? And so as you contemplate that question, as you think through, am I living my life, am I Sabbathing in a way that demonstrates that I love God and my neighbors in such a way that others can see it and be led into the same thing? And if that answer seems that maybe that there is something lacking, that I would encourage you to make a change. Start practicing a Sabbath. And something that I have noticed in my life is that when you make one small change, all those other changes that you've been thinking about suddenly become easier. That if you start making one small change at a time, life suddenly, you know, all of those things that you say that you want to do, that you know you're supposed to do, that you know that God is calling you to do. And if you're like me, I have this habit of trying to tackle everything at once, and it becomes this impossible task. And it seems like it should be so easy to love God and to love your neighbor. But when you start to think about that, what Jesus is asking for is every aspect of your life. Everything about your life is supposed to be a reflection of how you love God and love your neighbor. It's a little bit daunting, but it becomes a little bit less so if you find a starting point. So maybe for you, the Sabbath would be a good place to start. Fathers, find places of rest. Lead your wives and your children and your neighbors into rest. Congregation, find places of rest. Lead your spouses, your children, and your neighbors into rest. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you just continue to move and work in our lives. We thank you for the example that you have given us. We thank you that we don't have to go through this life alone, but that you have provided us with these instructions, steps to follow to enjoy life. We pray that you would help us to step into the roles that you've called us, fathers, mothers, friends, neighbors, children. We thank you and we praise you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.